So we're going to have a little Q&A. Of course, the conference has been on the theme of spiritual disciplines. And we had you write the questions down after the session on prayer. So a lot of the questions are a little heavy on that topic. That's okay. And some of these might just call for quick answers and some of them for a little bit longer. So I'm just going to present some of these. And we probably won't get to all of them. So if you wrote one and you didn't get a chance to have it answered, don't feel too disappointed. All right, let's see. Okay. In the Old Testament, was there prayer like there is now? And if so, what are the examples? Did people pray in the Old Testament as we do now? And what would be an example of that from the Old Testament?
Well, absolutely. I mean, obviously, they didn't pray in Jesus' name because they didn't know someone named Jesus. They didn't know someone who died on a Roman cross. So there's some differences there. But they believed in a coming Redeemer. That's why God instituted the whole sacrificial system, was to show them of their sinfulness and their need for someone to deliver them from their sinfulness. So by faith, they trusted in God's future deliverance. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. It's almost like an Old Testament book in the New Testament. But as far as prayer, yes, absolutely. I mean, there's prayer in the Old Testament. You think of David. David. You think of David's prayer throughout the Psalms. He's constantly praying. He's constantly lifting up prayers. One of the quintessential prayers is this prayer in Psalm 51. You know, against you and you only have I sinned against you. You know, wash me, cleanse me. And there's the Song of Moses, Miriam's song. You know, all those are not just songs. I believe they're also in the form of songs, but prayers to the Lord. There's
Hannah's prayer that she could have a child. Right. Daniel's prayer is in the book of Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel chapter 9. That's, in fact, Daniel's prayer is a model prayer. That one of those prayers I said, one of the ways that it can inform you how to pray, look at patterns of prayer, look at models of prayer. Daniel chapter 9 is an excellent, model of prayer. Looking at that, seeing all the different things Daniel is bringing up in his prayer asking God, forgive us, God help us, God sustain us, and all these things. So
that's another way where maybe Bible reading and prayer fit together as spiritual disciplines, because as you read through the Old Testament, for example, or the New Testament, you can take note of prayers when they occur, and then look at them, and then use them as a model for how to pose your own prayers. What does it mean when the Bible says we need to fear God?
Fear God, that just means we reverence God. We are reverencing God. We are setting God as who He is. He is God. And so it's not fearing. If you're in Christ and you have a mediator, it's not fear in a sense of judgment, but it's fear in a sense of reverence, His holiness. He is holy, holy, holy. And so we reverence that. And so because of that, there's fear. And a way you can think about that is a way that you would have sort of a healthy fear maybe about a godly father. I was just telling Mark, we were talking this morning over breakfast, and I was telling him, he was telling me how he was a B student in school, and I was telling him how I was a C student, and I probably would have been lower, but my dad said, son, if you bring a D into this home, I'm going to wear you out. And my dad did not play when he administered discipline, when he administered the rod. And so I had a reverence for my dad. Not that I was scared to come into the presence of my dad, even with those commands and those threatenings behind those commands. I loved my dad. I would always want to be in his presence. But there was a setting apart. My dad wasn't my buddy, in a sense. My dad wasn't like one of my friends that I kind of kicked around with or whatever. He was my father. He was my dad. And so there's a difference in the relationship. And so in that sense, I feared my dad. Not having not being scared of him, not being afraid I'm going to come into his presence and he's going to, you know, hit me or strike me or something like that. No, not that type of fear, but a healthy reverence that I have honor for him. I have respect for him. I want to please him in what he commands me to do. And so I think it's like that, Jeff.
Good. Out of all the books you talked about, and for some of the adults who are joining us for this, at the end of each session, Van very helpfully gave a list of books related to the topic. When you listen to the audio, you can hear that. But someone said, out of all the books you talked about, what would be the easiest to understand? And so books on the spiritual disciplines. I noticed they didn't say what was the best or what was the best overview, but what would be the easiest to understand of all the ones you mentioned?
Easiest to understand. Am I to understand that as short or really none of them are complicated? I mean, they're all written at what's called a popular level. None of those books are academic. None of those books you would find like the nature of their writing, like in the theological journal. They're very much down to earth. I mean, if I had to pick, I mean, just on any subject, that's if you want to just find the. The easiest book, since we're talking about prayer, Don Whitney, Praying the Bible. It is extremely short. I think it's about 40-something pages. And it is just, and even the font on the, and it's a little book. It's a pretty book. It's like about this big. It's one you can put out on a coffee table or something. Nice hardcover, kind of one of those kind of more padded hardcover things. And just very simple, very succinct. Anyone, really, if you can read, you can understand it. So probably that one.
Someone asked, do you have to pray alone?
No.
I'm not sure if they were thinking with regard to private prayer. I mean, obviously when you're in church or maybe if your family does family devotions or if you have a friend that you would sit down and pray with. So you don't have to pray alone. What's the value of praying alone?
Well, I mean, every Lord's Day we're not praying alone, are we?
But what's the value of praying alone?
What is?
Yes.
Well, I don't think there's any more special value praying alone than with praying with others in a certain sense. Now, again, I would have to say, like what I said last night, I really mark everything that happens within the Lord's Day congregational worship as sort of a cut above. But be that as it may, and sort of putting that to the side, if we're praying together, in other words, if you guys right now, if we were just to have a time of prayer, and we were praying here, this is not a Lord's Day, it's not a worship service, but we all just said, you know, we've got some things we want to pray about, and let's pray. I don't think that's, you know, someone praying out there by themselves is really, in a sense, any different as far as God hearing, as God answering according to His will. So I don't think there's really any difference in that per se. Now again, you're going to be able to maybe gain and garner certain things when you pray with other people that you can't garner by yourself. For example, listening to other people how they pray, being instructive to you how you should pray. So that as I listen to Jeff pray, if his prayers are more biblical, more in line with what the Lord would have to say, and if he has a fervency, and if we talk about the different kind of prayers where maybe he's just especially gifted and desiring to want to pray for people individually, and he has such a way of making supplication, intercession for their prayer, that's instructive to me when I pray with him. I can't get that on my own. When he prays, we talk about the big vision prayers like William Carey, you know, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God, expect great things for God. So when he's praying a big sort of world vision type prayer, and my prayers are real teeny, weeny, weeny, bitty, just, you know, sort of Matthews County type surrounding things, you know, I learned from that. I learned from Jeff praying. So we can garner those things praying with other people, and that's an advantage that we can't get from praying with ourselves. So there's some differences there, but as far as if we can say efficacy in prayer, I don't believe there's any difference whatsoever. So you're not going to sort of have God's ear more if you're gathered with a group praying than if you're gathered individually. But again, setting off. I think God does something special as a means of grace in the corporate worship service as we do pray, in a sense of growing. So.
Someone made reference to the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing. And they asked, what does it mean? What does praying without ceasing mean, and how do we do it?
Okay. Well, if we think about what prayer is, and we go back to what the Westminster Confession talked about, prayer is lifting up our desires to God, praying according to the will of God, okay? So very succinctly, that's what it said. So if that is what prayer is, this text tells me that I need to be doing that all the time, okay? Now, obviously, what does that mean? Does it mean that I'm going to have to go and be off by myself to pray? No, obviously you can't do that. I mean, we've got responsibilities, we've got work. Does it mean I've got to vocally speak my prayer all the time? No, it can't mean that. If you were doing that, you'd be violating what 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 tell us about interrupting the pastor while he's preaching, while he's practicing his gift of prophecy, his gift of foretelling the word of God. Well, I'm going to interrupt Jeff in his prayer during his preaching because I'm supposed to be praying constantly. So I'm just praying, out loud while he's preaching. So it can't mean that. So what others have said is that it means you're in a posture of prayer. You're in sort of a spirit of prayer. And listen, I don't think that's impossible. Because every moment of your life, you're making choices. So every moment of your life, with your will, you're choosing to do something. Come what may. Whether it's a huge decision, sort of medium decision or small decision, we're making choices. So in all of those things and in whatever context we're in, we need to be praying. It should just be automatic. And really what that is I believe it's living what they used to call Coram Deo. You're living before the face of God. In other words, everywhere I go, really every breath I take, it's before the face of God. And I realize that God is here. God is with me right now. He's with every breath I take, every step I make, He's with me. And so there's that constant communion in prayer. And again, very quick prayer. You think about Nehemiah before the king, and then the king just basically says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Now, boom, what do you do? So he throws up what the Puritans would call an ejaculatory prayer. He just prays, just throws up a prayer. Says, God, help me, praise. And then he tells the king, let the people go back home. And so, again, that's someone being in a spirit of prayer, being in a posture of prayer. So we have different types of prayer. We have longer. We have a Daniel 9 prayer, or we have a Nehemiah prayer, and everything in between. So does that help?
Yeah, that's good. We're going to go to a bit of a lightning round here.
So
it's okay. But I'm going to get a few of these more out. I think there's some good ones here. Someone asks, is there a way to focus on prayer completely with a house full of loud people? So that's it. We want to pray, but we live in a house and there are other people there and it's raining outside. How can we find a quiet place to pray?
Well, I'll answer this way. You'll probably never more pray for a quiet house than in that context. So in that regard, it's actually helping you. But no, I know what you're saying. Now, again, all types of different types of prayer. And again, I'm assuming that you're talking about one of these times where we're kind of having basically our quiet time. We want to spend time in prayer. And I would say, it's extremely difficult. And I would say you need to carve out that time. I tell our parents in our church who have young kids, I said, moms, listen, I understand. I've been there. I've watched my wife do all that. And you, don't have any time. I said, but you need to carve the time. Dad, you need to take the kids. You need to take responsibility. You need to give your wife time alone with God. We need to be alone with God. Listen, Jesus was alone with God. By the way, that is also one of the spiritual disciplines that many people would say, and I would agree, seeing as the Lord did it, it is solitude. is getting alone with God. And so I would say, is it impossible? I don't think it is. I mean, you can just try to focus. Because if that's your context and you cannot absolutely get away from it, you're still commanded to pray. And you know, really where there's a will, there's a way. But really what you need to do is you need to just carve that time out. Just have people in the household help you. Get it to where you can get somewhere. Get by yourself. Be quiet before the Lord.
Someone asked, when you're practicing prayer, I'm assuming by that when you're learning how to pray, you're exploring
pray
and
you
learning
pray.
How to pray, is it good to pray out loud in a group setting if you feel like you're just learning how?
I think it's very good. I think it's very good. Now, no one should be ashamed of prayer. No one should be, and I'm assuming the group is believers, okay? That should be encouraged. I encourage our people, and listen, I know sometimes it can be intimidating, because when we have prayer meeting at our church, we have got some prayers, and I mean, you know, they'll take the ball and they'll run with it, and you know, 15 minutes later, you know, we're going to the next person. And I can understand how that's intimidating, because someone said, I can't pray like that. Listen, this is your Father. Again, we talked about reverencing to Him, we talked about having fear of Him, proper reverence, but yet there's this aspect of, you know, you can come to Him. You can come to Him as a father. You are His child by spiritual adoption because of Christ, because you're in Christ. And so you should be able to speak to Him silently with your mind or out loud, and that should be encouraged. Understanding that different people are at different places with their prayer life. You know, some baby Christians are at the level that all they're praying for is the gimme, give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that. They haven't understood biblically how to try to pray in a biblical way in alignment with the will of God. But yet, what do? We don't make fun of them. We encourage them. And I would encourage every one of you, if you were in a church prayer meeting that they open up prayer to everyone, listen, talk to your Heavenly Father in the context of other believers whom His dear Son has saved. And that should be encouraging to everyone there.
It's funny, Mark and I were talking after church this past Wednesday after our prayer meeting about public prayer. And he mentioned Stonewall Jackson, the Confederate general, who was a great leader of men. He was a Presbyterian layman. And he writes, people have written about that he struggled in praying aloud. And it was, what's the quote from him, Mark? What did he say?
He told his pastor, and I'm paraphrasing here, was that if it means making me feel uncomfortable in order to pray in public, then make me feel uncomfortable often.
Mm. Right.
So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I'm just going to read some of the rest of these, and maybe you can make just one summing up statement, all right? Related a bit to what you said, somebody asked, should you pray more for yourself or for others? Someone said, how do you balance finding time for God and finding time for normal things? Let's just close on those two, if you want to address those two. And
praying for yourselves as opposed for others. I just think there's Scripture doesn't give us sort of a quota there on others versus prayers for ourselves. Listen, when it comes to prayer, you see all types of prayer in Scripture, all types of prayer. Again, you look at David through the Psalms, he's constantly praying, Lord, help me, Lord, they're after me, Lord, they would want to kill me, they would want to take my life, you know, Lord, where are you at, and all of these things. And so David is just in the Psalms, in those areas, he's constantly praying for himself, but yet it is so that he would glorify God. And then you look at prayers for others. I mean, we're commanded to do that, but again, just to be very short with it, I don't think that there's a you know, we're not keeping a tally of, okay, I pray for myself this much, I pray for others this much, I'm being a bit imbalanced here, just as long as you're doing both. Because you need prayer, and other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ need prayer. Now, what was the other question?
Balancing time for normal things and things of God. So maybe you want to pursue Bible reading, prayer, etc., but you've got to, you know, prepare a meal or finish your homework, or how do you balance time to pursue spiritual disciplines and time to for the practical necessities of life?
Right. Prioritize. You're never going to do it unless you prioritize. Like we talked before, you've got to plan. You got to plan these out. And if you do not have priorities in your life, you let other people make up your schedule. And so basically, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to have these certain elements in my life, you know, these disciplines, for example. I'm going to be reading the Word of God. I'm going to be praying. And everything's going to fall around that. It's sort of like what I tell our church, you know, on Sunday. People seem to think, you know, what day of the week is Sunday on?
Sunday.
First. The answer I was looking for was for first. It's the first day of the week, okay? But people treat it like it's the last day of the week. People treat it like, you know, I've done all my week, I've done everything this week, and now at the very end of the week, it's what? It's Sunday, right? And so what do I have time for? Do I have time to come to the Lord's Day worship on a Sunday evening, or am I just too beat or too tired or anything like that? And I always remind people, I say, now listen, the Lord's Day is the first day of the week. So you do what the Lord has commanded on the first day of the week, and now everything else you have to do, God has given you 6 incredible days to get them done. So it's not the other way around. So I would say that with our personal lives before God, the things that we need to be doing. Prayer, reading the Bible, the Word of God. Carve out that time. Now, there will be times where your life is just fluctuating and there are emergencies, okay? As important as reading the Bible is in prayer, if your dad has just slumped over with a heart attack during your quiet time, you don't do half an hour of your quiet time and then call 911. You know what? Your prayer time for that day, well, I'll say it'll be accelerated. That's for sure. You'll probably be praying like you've never prayed before. But as far as having that time of reading down and reading the Word and prayer, that's shot as far as that picture. Now, again, you may do it later on in the day or things like that. So things do happen, and they will knock us out of this. But as far as other things like, you know, school that you could have been doing at this time but you didn't do it, other things where you sort of put off where you weren't maybe the best time manager you could be, you know, those things need to be handled after the main priority of reading Scripture, prayer, those things, being with God. You need that. You need that in your life. You need it every day. You need the corporate worship of God's people on the Lord's Day. These things are vitally important. If you're going to go throughout the day trying to glorify God, be obedient to Him, and love Him. And so let everything else come afterwards. And you know, I just have a feeling, you know, it's like I heard one preacher say, you honor God, He'll honor you. And I just have a feeling if you set God first in these things, that all of a sudden you're going to find, wow, I do have the time to do. I didn't think I had the time, but I do have the time to do these things. So.
Well, I'm sorry if I didn't get your question read. But Van, we really appreciate you coming, being here.
Thank you all so much. We're going to close. You guys are awesome.
We're going to close up the teaching session with a word of prayer. So let's join together in prayer if we can. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the time that we've had this weekend to have fellowship and to come to know each other better and to meet new friends. And we lift up, oh God, these young people to you. We pray, oh God, that you would use them, that they would remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and that if you would be so kind, some years from now, that these young people who are here would grow into mature men and women, that they would lead godly lives, that they would follow you and serve you. And so we commend each of them to you, O God, to your care, and help them to grow even as Christ did when here in the flesh, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Help us to cultivate the spiritual disciplines, not out of drudgery, but with joy, with gratitude. And, oh God, sharpen us and use us for your purposes. We ask you to be with Pastor Van, bless his church, bless his ministry, give them unity, give them fruitfulness, and help us to enjoy the rest of the activities of this day and give us a safe journey home. We thank you for the adults who came to chaperone and prepare meals and for all that they provided. And we ask that you would bless them as well for their service to us, even as we were learning about service this morning and they have been serving us. We thank you for them. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.